Welcome to episode 99 of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I just gotta say, Mother Nature definitely has an interesting timing, if anything else.
Yeah.
I'm just noticing.
You could say it knows when to make a direct impact. And, of course, Tellius Tyler.
Shout out to the internet, though, for not leaking everything. Like, you know the media people have stuff that they're not leaking right now, outside of one news story, which is not big at all, that we'll be talking about.
Yeah. So, just to recap, today was supposed to be a very special day on NEP because we had a direct that should have aired about, you know, like 3 hours ago. And yesterday it was confirmed to be happening. Then this morning, the typhoon is currently hitting Japan. Just totally wreaked havoc. Like, seriously, if you find some of the pictures, it's not pretty. So, and it's hitting the area where Nintendo's main Japanese headquarters are at. And yesterday they even noticed that the N off the Nintendo building got knocked off. So Nintendo did Nintendo did the wise thing, emphasis on wise, and delayed the Nintendo Direct. We'll be talking about it a little bit later, but our thoughts to everyone in Japan. We hope that, you know, the typhoon ends soon, and that you know, Nintendo and the other businesses and the other people can get back to their everyday lives without having to worry about this.
It's just really, I mean, I've been seeing the videos, like, it mostly got hit mostly in Kyoto and Osaka last time I checked. And the video footage, holy moly. Yeah. Don't underestimate typhoons, man.
No.
Don't underestimate them.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the earthquake was, I mean, it's been like a combination of things. But I think actually the main reason they said they were delaying it was from the earthquake that hit the area, which was like, it's a 6.7, which is, I mean, that's pretty bad. Not the worst earthquake ever. I mean, Japan is, you know, it's always,
Japan's
seems
had
like there's something going on there.
Four.
It's horrible. But the damage, like you said, the pictures are there. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thoughts to everybody out there.
So, hopefully, you know, it said it's going to be rescheduled for next week, but, you know, we don't know. We'll be talking about it a little bit later. But, again, it's our thoughts and feelings to everyone in Japan. We hope you guys make it through it and make it through it soon. So, moving on, we got a lot to talk about, even though we don't have a Nintendo Direct to talk about. We were prepared. We had actually, we were prepared. We were totally blindsided, and we, you know, we're like, what do we do? We're gonna get it all started off with, what have you been playing? Tyler, how about you start us off? What have you been doing?
I have been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yes!
I hate this game, I'm gonna be honest.
No!
And, like, I don't hate it for real. Like, I enjoy it a lot at times, and I hate it a lot at times.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
Yeah, so like
you have no room to talk, Will. You're not even as far as him.
I think Will might be, actually. We're probably right in the same area right now. I just chase a stupid little kid. So, before I get to that, I have completed Chapter 3, so, you know, there's some stuff that happens. It's pretty sad.
Yes.
And, like, the story up until then was very hit and miss. There were some good moments, but the characters were pretty plain. And it just, it felt like a standard JRPG plot and just not much excitement. No, I know that there's going to be some plot twists that come along the way.
I promise you.
Everybody says the game's got a really good story down the stretch, so I'm ready for that.
Ironically enough, the end of Chapter 3 is actually, like, one of the turning points, which is ironic because I actually like the end of Chapter 3 because of what happens, but
I hated it.
I also, really? Well, I mean, there was overacting. It's part of the game. It's a JRPG. What do you want? I want good acting, Todd. Shut up, Tyler.
Well,
but, you know, trust
let
me,
let
it, there
air
is
my
a turning points. I promise.
I do trust you, but so the thing with these characters is, like, when they're just, like, kind of doing their thing, they're fine. I really like all the way. I like Rex's voice actor. I don't understand why people don't like Rex's voice actor. I think he's fine.
I like the voice actor. It's just that there are times when he pushes it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the characters are pretty plain and,
pretty,
like,
much
mostly stupid. Like, that's the thing that gets me. All the characters
I don't
are...
think you just said Nia is stupid. That's that. Ooh, she's gonna kill you for that.
No, I don't blame Nia. Nia is actually one of the few characters that's smart, I think. I think Nia is the best character in the party, outside of Van Damme, God rest his soul. But, like Rex. So here's what happens in chapter three. Now, apologies.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. But you know, this game's been out for a while, so yeah. Rex and Pyra. Malos captures this little girl, and like in the most traditional way possible, she's like, she overhears him talking to her grandpa, and she's like, "I want to save him. Can you help me save him?" And he's like, "Yeah, just come with me, and that's how you'll do it." And then she's like, "Okay, cool, I'll come with you then." And of course, it's a trap. So he like comes to Pyra in a dream, which is cool because you're like, "Okay, how is he appearing in Pyra's fictional made up space of Elysium?" Like, there's some cool, you know, questions that I'm sure that they'll answer down there, but. So Pyra like knows what's up, and she just decides that she's gonna go like alone to face them, which makes zero sense. He's just like, "Come alone," and she's like, "Okay, well, I'll just come alone then." Like, they're like, we've never seen that in a story before, and it always doesn't work. It's obviously a huge mistake. And so she goes, and like, she has no chance of beating them, and she knows that they want to kill her. So like, if her quest is to save this girl, like, she has to know that she's not going to be able to do it without help. But her actions are completely illogical. Then Rex, like, doing what he does, he runs up behind her and is like, oh, we'll take him on together. I'll save you. Yeah, and he jumps in and he does an attack. And then you fight this boss. And breaking away from the story for a second, the difficulty spike at this boss is ridiculous. Like,
your party
just gets wiped out. Like, you just... I forget how I even conquered it, but you're just overpowered. Like, you're completely overmatched, and the AI really frustrated me, because I wanted to be Rex for that, because it seemed like an important scene, but if I wasn't Nia, like, the AI Nia would never heal, and it was so frustrating. And like, but the same thing would go for AI Rex. I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to break him and then you topple him. And he just wouldn't do it sometimes. It was really frustrating. So after a few failures of that boss, I was like, you know what? I might have to go and grind, which is weird because it's a climactic scene where the characters are pinned. But you can literally just walk down the stairs after you lose the boss fight. And like, Pyra is back in your party. So like, that girl is just sitting there for like potentially days on end while they wait for you to come back, which is like... Yeah, I get the fact that you want to keep the story, or you want to keep the player's options open. Like, if that's a hard boss, if the difficulty is going to spike as it does, which it shouldn't, you're probably going to need to grind. I mean, I was a pretty high level going into it, and I still needed to go back and take a nap at the inn. So I take a nap at the inn, and I wake up, and first of all, Pyra's not even there. So I think the game was like supposed to trigger that cutscene then, and... Tora tells Rex and Nia to, like, come to the theater to watch him and Poppy put on a show. Meanwhile, Pyra is allegedly fighting for her life, but she's actually in my party because I already got to that cutscene. The whole thing was just a storytelling mess in which you can fast travel around the globe.
Yeah.
Which is just like, what? Like, what? There's just no immersion there. Anyway, back to the story. So that gameplay element was really frustrating, but, back to the story, you finally, you know, I conquer the first stage of the boss, and then Van Dam, like, your party's just getting beaten, which happens every single boss fight, but might I add, every single boss that you beat up the boss, and then the cutscene happens and your team is dead, and they need somebody to save them, and it's really stupid. But, so, like, Van Dam, you know, comes out, and he does his last stand, and he, like, gives himself up for the team, and everyone's like, run, Rex, like, you gotta run away, like, you just got your head handed to you, Van Dam's dead, you can't beat this guy, run away. And Rex is like, no, I'm gonna keep charging and attacking, even though if Rex dies, Pyra's also gonna die, they already said that, and the whole thing is that Rex cares about Pyra and he wants to protect her, but no, he's gonna run ahead and get killed here. Like, it made literally no sense, just... It was the stupidest decision I've ever seen. And then Mithra gets woken up because, like, Rex is about to die. And she, like, comes in to save him. And you're like, this is great. Because Mithra's just like, Rex, you are an idiot. Like, you're trash. Like, what's wrong with you moron? And I'm like, thank you. Somebody needed to say it. Like, somebody needed to tell Rex that he was an idiot. And just to highlight Nia being great for a second, Nia was hesitant to fight because she has a history with those people. So, like, he actually had some sort of character moment where she was standing there, you know, trying to determine whether or not she should run and try to save Van Dam or not, because she still has some affection for her former teammates. Anyway, back to the other characters, which suck. then you beat the crap out of the boss, because when Mithra wakes up, like, it's impossible to lose. And you're like, this is great. Like, finally, I have a new party member. I'm sick of Pyra and Rex just being idiots, and Mithra is, like, also sick of them being idiots, so great. But no, Mithra just goes away. She's just gone. The next scene wakes up, and it's like, oh, Pyra's saying some sad words at the funeral, and that's it. Like, now you're stuck with her again. And then they have you do this merc quest that just steals all the momentum from the scene. The whole thing was just a pacing mess, a character mess, a gameplay mess. So frustrating.
But you're not wrong in a lot of what you said, but I promise you it does get better. And this is not a spoiler. I'm sure you probably saw this or heard about this. You will eventually be able to shift in battle.
Pyra. I'm eager for that.
Yeah, you will get it. It's not immediate, but you will get it. And it's story wise, it was important for them to note that it wasn't an immediate thing because you're gonna find out why. But there's a story reason why Mithra goes away.
Yep.
Like, beyond her calling Rex an idiot, not liking him at the moment.
Right.
You know. So I understand your frustrations. And again, trust me, at this point in the game, if I remember correctly, I was about where you were. The boss was so hard. And
yeah.
Really? I remember having to grind. I remember having to do that. And then once Mithra showed up, which, okay, just for me, I hated that the trailer for Mithra was shown.
Right.
Yes.
That would have been one of the biggest shocks in the world, because all we're seeing is Rex and Pyra, and then all of a sudden it's, oh no, it's like, who are you? I'm Mithra. But hey, we got that spoiled already, so it's just like, what do you want from me?
It
definitely sucked out some of them. Now, I know why they did that, because it was, you know, who is Mithra? I thought Pyra was one girl. Is she now two? Is it split personalities, or is this a Blade thing? You know, I get that, but it definitely sucked some of the moment out, because you knew it was coming.
Yes,
you
knew it did.
That this
Absolutely.
Was the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you literally knew that it was in the same. They didn't even disguise the background. It was distinctly, oh, Mithra was going to come and save us here, which, you know, would have been great if that happened before you had to fight that stupid boss, because I hated that boss. And by the way, Will, what you see is really, because I think you might not have had a problem with it, I found out that the main reason I kept losing was because my other party members were attacking Malos and not the other guy.
Yeah.
And you only have to damage the other guy, but they all kept targeting Malos because he has taunt, and he kept taunting them, and they kept falling for it, so I couldn't get them to go
there, there
onto the other guy.
There is a button command that Rex has that you can actually
focus on one
target. I had to look that up myself because I was having trouble, and then they're like...
That's exactly what I did, Todd. Same exact thing. Yeah, I looked it up, and I was like, oh, that's why they're not helping me right now. I'm like, Nia's the only one doing damage, and she's obviously the healer. So, but anyway, like I don't want it to say that I hate the game. I really don't. I keep playing it, so I obviously enjoy it a little bit.
A little bit.
The worlds are really beautiful. Like every area is gorgeous. There's a ton of content. There's a lot of stuff to do. The side quests I actually enjoy for the most part. The compass sucks. I mean, the compass is the worst compass I've ever seen. Like, I'm trying to go. It's like it's always just off by a couple degrees of where you're supposed to go. And it's frustrating, especially when you're getting closer, it gets worse to where it's telling you to go straight, but you really need to go to your right or your left a little bit to see where you're supposed to be, which is always kind of grating to me. And
it's a big
it's...
game of hot and cold, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of little things that are off about this game that are stopping me from really embracing it, but I am continuing to play it. Combat is finally getting good now that I have 3 blade slots, so I can do all the blade combos, and I can do all, you know, the driver combos as well, so those are finally going better. I mean, it's not a horrible game. It's not great. At this point, it's not great, but as Todd said, it gets better, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going
to
write...
This game is super slow burn, and I noted it in my review, and it definitely felt, because, like, getting up to 3, even though I was sad about Van Damme's death, fight your war, Rex! Fight your war! Don't run. I don't want to run. No, you gotta run. No, seriously, girl, I'm going to run. I'm going to go charge at Malos. No, I get that. But it does get better. Chapter 4 really helps change things, especially now that Mithra is a part of the equation. It does get better by the time you get to the end, dear gosh. So, yeah.
Hi.
All right, so that's what Tyler's been playing.
Hopefully you enjoyed that little rant.
I find it ironic that I ranted about Xenoblade Chronicles X last week, and this week you ranted about Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, Xenoblade Chronicles confirmed from Smash Brothers. We just made it happen. Because think about it, Torna is coming out in a couple of weeks. They have to reveal Rex and Pyra slash Mithra.
That would actually make sense. That would
it
make
has
sense.
To happen. So alright, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
For me, as usual, I've been going on the Fire Emblem Heroes. Been currently right now is the Voting Gauntlet. For me, I chose supporting Lin while you two have been supporting Ike.
Ike!
Stay with me, Tyler.
And, yes.
We like Ike!
We like Ike!
And Ike. Yeah, last I checked on the standings, like, well, I'm seeing the different standings. Apparently, Veronica's really doing very well against, I think it was Brave Lucina, last I checked. Yeah, it's male division versus female division right now, yeah. And apparently Veronica's really getting a lot of steam, considering she's a newcomer, so... Whew, that's that, and yeah, so far it seems to be an even match so far. Can't wait to see who's going to be moving on in the next round. Also recently doing a bit more progress in Octopath Traveler, going on to do Tressa's Chapter 3. Yeah, going through that. And
That was a good one.
Okay, I look forward to that. And yes, also actually a very big surprise, and thank you for our sponsors here. We have been graciously granted from Sega a PS4 code of Valkyria Chronicles 4. Like, we did request it for a Switch version, but unfortunately it didn't came through, so I'm actually playing Valkyria Chronicles 4 for review.
Dang.
And I'll let you know right now, like, I only managed to go and play managed to finish installing it just last night. I only managed to play the demo and continue on with a little bit of the story. Obviously, I have to do the embargo. I can't only say so much stuff. But basically, so far what I've been playing, like, it's basically, if you love Valkyria Chronicles 1, this you are going to feel right at home if you play the original game. The one thing that, like, I have improved upon is basically there's our chapters now that actually fill in character plot holes. Like, in the first game, you just basically see these characters and, like, okay, it's just for the main cast. But here in Valkyria Chronicles 4, there is attention to the entire cast, including supporting characters. Like, there is the story missions where you go, like, the main chapter 4s, but also there are intermission stories which basically help fill in, like, the blanks, like, how Squad E came to be, how, like, these characters, like, at first hate each other to the point now to the best of friends. Again, it definitely fills in a lot of the holes that a lot of games don't really explain. So great, it's basically great character development. And gameplay wise, again, you play Valkyria Chronicles 1, then you're gonna feel right at home. So I personally, I just can't wait to go after this podcast. I just want to play even more because, again, I need to get this review up in due time.
Nice.
But, overall,
yeah, what a nice concept, Will, getting a review up in due time.
Anyways, ignoring Todd's slight, I played a little bit of 1 and it was really good. 1's coming to Switch in October too.
That
right?
is true. That they announced it at PAX. Yes, that is correct. They announced that the Valkyria Chronicles 1 is coming to the eShop digitally for Nintendo Switch. Yes. So if you haven't got a chance to play the PS4 or the PS4 remastered, then yeah. You got the eShop's next in line for you, so I highly recommend it. Definitely highly recommend it. So yeah, overall, Valkyria Chronicles 4 so far, absolutely great. If you love your tactical RPG shooters, then this is definitely a game for you. So I wholeheartedly recommend it.
As for me, I am very, very happy to say that I have officially beaten all 8 character stories in Octopath Traveler. So I thank you. I only had a few to go at last time, and then I beat Primrose and Cyrus and Tressa. That was it, Tressa. So it was good. I definitely recommend to Will and to anyone who hasn't beaten yet, save Cyrus's for last because his boss is a bit tricky, and the story will feel more connected if you play Cyrus last. So we won't spoil how everyone dies. Kidding. Again, one day I'm going to drop a spoiler and not say kidding. You're going to think I'm kidding and I'm not. And you're going to be like, dang it, Todd, you didn't kid.
Like, we're going to get to that spot. And it'll be
it will happen. It will happen. So, but I was very happy. I was just so happy to finally finish this game. I mean, I was playing it like crazy in the first 2 weeks because I was trying to get my review out. Then just something happened and it just didn't click that I wanted to finish it, and then I just got so frustrated with myself. I'm like, I need to play video games again. So yeah, I played it, and then I started beating every game, and I started to love the game again, and I still maintain my 4.5 out of 5 rating. It's a really good game. Although they clearly made this game wanting a sequel. Okay, like, it wasn't apparent before because of how the game was built. I mean, we knew there was going to be interconnected features. It just was impossible given that they all live in one world. But now it's just clear they wanted a sequel. All right, so I don't know how they would do Octopath Traveler 2, but we'll see.
Question regarding to, because like I know once you finish all 8 stories, there is the quote unquote true final boss at the end, the post game stuff. Like, have you attempted that?
I didn't even know about that. I think I vaguely remember that, but I know I haven't attempted it.
I actually haven't attempted it either. There's 2 weird side quests that you need to do to unlock it.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like doing it. I will go back and actually replay all of Octopath at some point, because I did really like that game myself, and I'll probably do it then. But I'm not feeling the call to go back to doing it anytime soon.
And as someone who just recently beat all 8 chapters, they didn't even hint that there was an endgame scenario or whatever. So I don't even know what it is.
Because I know there are like also party banters that includes all 4 characters. Like, for example, a ladies only party banter once you finish up all 8 stories. Once you finish up all 8 character stories, there are like much more post-game content, apparently.
Yeah, there are some. I've seen some of the 3-person stories, which were fun. My personal favorite, this is not a spoiler because it's not story-related, but Ophelia, Cyrus, and Ulbrich have a fun one where they're talking about a wedding, and Ophelia graciously offers to marry, you know, Ulbrich and Cyrus to whoever they are betrothed to should the time come. And Cyrus is like, yeah, that's a good idea. And Ulbrich's like, yeah, like that'll ever happen. I still maintain that the best banter is between Primrose and Haynet about the purpose of men.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. It's like men are one of 2 ways. Either they won't do anything, or they want you to do everything for them. And Haynet goes, I don't think I ever want to be with a man now. And Primrose goes, you have nothing left to learn from me.
I.
Savage! So, but no, I love this game. And, you know, if you haven't gotten it, seriously, go get it. It's really good. And again, this new team acquired just totally killed it. They're the Bravely Default team, and they want to make more games like this. I want them to make more games like this. It sold over 1 million copies, so they should be making more games like this. It's a really good game, and I'm really glad I got to finish it. So, and now I can focus on Torn of the Golden Country when it comes out in a few weeks. So, looking forward to that. And of course, I've been playing Heroes what I can, and trying to get characters, but not having enough orbs now because I spent all 300 trying to get a legendary hero when someone got all 4.
I'm a legendary king.
Yeah, I did.
And a legendary king. I got
it. Was great.
Lewa, or whatever her name. I mean, granted, it's 5 star, so I should be happy, but I'm not because I wanted Linnae. More. Yeah, Linnae, that was her. So, yeah, but whatever.
And now we have the recent banner of, no, not genealogy.
We're getting Genealogy of the Holy War again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's coming out. That comes out tomorrow, and I have 20 orbs, so we'll see how that goes. And but yeah, it's good. I'm glad we're getting more genealogy characters. Dear gosh, dude, that I want a Genealogy of the Holy War remake. We've said it a lot of times on the podcast before, but I want it. So. All right. Well, despite the Nintendo Direct not going through today, we do have a lot of news to talk about, so it's time to go down the warp pipe. I'll just get this out of the way again. The Nintendo Direct got delayed. It was terrible. But what do you the big thing for me was that they announced it was gonna be 35 minutes long, which is long, right? I mean, that was like on par with their E3 presentation, and which is saying something because that was 25 minutes of Smash Brothers. But they said they're going to be revealing both Switch and 3DS games. So that really got me not concerned per se, but curious about how they were going to divide that up, because as far as we've seen, there's not been an original, okay, I should say super original, 3DS game come out by Nintendo this year, because it's all ports and whatnot, you know, like Luigi's Mansion and Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story, that was it. And
right.
So you know, there's nothing new there. And yet they said specifically, hey, we're going to be talking 3DS titles. So do they have something? Do they not have something? And then, of course, the Switch, with this being the first Nintendo Direct that's not Smash Brothers focused, you know, it opens the potential. Are they going to be talking more about Pokemon Go? Are they going to be talking about Super Mario Party? Is one of these mysterious secret games that they allegedly, I'm doing the quotation marks with my hands, allegedly have coming. Was that going to get revealed there? What about third-party titles? You know, there were so many mysteries about this, and now that we got delayed, it sucks, because now we're stuck with these questions for a potentially indefinite amount of time.
It's really, like, it really is a shame, because I've been seeing really many prediction videos, and of course, like, with the recent, like, data mining, everybody's more or less clamoring to see what the heck is going on. Like, what does this presentation is going to contain? I mean, just recently, I mean, we already got something due to from Nintendo, just like, again, apparently not even like 3 hours ago at the time of recording, and that's the Mega Man 11 demo. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to be presentation now, since we're already getting what it was perhaps probably presented in the Direct, which is the Mega Man 11 demo. So, it's going to be interesting to say at least, like, if they're going to be postponing it to next week overall.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting actually a decent amount of Smash Bros. News, which, you know, might not sound surprising coming from me, but I actually think that a lot of people don't expect that. But I think we're going to get what the Spirits mode is in this Direct. I really do. I don't think that they're going to spend more than 5 minutes on Smash, and I definitely expect them to either open or close with a character reveal. But I think we're going to get a new character, an Echo, and then the Spirits mode revealed for Smash Bros. I'm expecting some third-party stuff as well. Last year, Bethesda rolled in for the September Direct, and I actually kind of expect them to come up again, maybe with a Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas thing, more likely 3. But yeah, I mean, those are probably my the two. I definitely expect to see something big from a third party. Might not be Bethesda, but that's where I'm putting my money.
Yeah, I mean, we with the Mega Man demo, it was clear, coming out for Switch first, it was clear that was supposed to be there. So that's let's just put that out of the way. I think that they definitely need a big third-party title, especially since last year in November, they had, like, you know, the four major releases come out with Doom, Skyrim, Rocket League, and then Batman from Telltale. So they definitely need something big to sustain them third-party-wise. We'll have to see what they actually do, but, you know, there's definitely gonna be Smash Brothers reveal. It's just it's almost expected up until Sakurai says this is the last Smash Bros. Character, because he hasn't said that yet. He said there's not gonna be as many new characters, and Echoes I don't think count, because he would have said if it was. There's definitely gonna be a new Smash Brothers character, but the question is what else are they gonna show? Because like you noted to me, Tyler, they didn't say, you know, upcoming Switch and 3DS games. They said they're just going to show off some 3DS and Switch games. So that
right.
could mean, you know, 2019.
Yeah,
that could mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're definitely seeing a lot more than people expect. I mean, like you said, it's 35 minutes, so that's a lot. That's just as long as E3 was.
E3 was a little longer, because remember, 25
minutes.
Think about it. 25 minutes of Smash Bros. It was like a 45-minute presentation.
So. Really? I'm pretty sure it was 35. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a long show, so I do expect it. People say, I listened to Game Explains discussion, they say no Metroid, no Yoshi, although we'll get to Yoshi in a second. They're definitely showing Yoshi. But I think we see Metroid, I think we see Yoshi, I think we see I think we see some Shin Megami Tensei stuff
awesome.
As well. That's actually one of the interesting leaks that's kind of rumors that's going around, is that there is from Laura Catedale, one of the reasons they delayed the Direct was because there's a game featured that directly relates to the natural disasters, and they, you know, would be insensitive to showcase that. My mind went right to the Shin Megami Tensei 5 trailer with the dilapidated city. I think we see that.
Potential.
That would make sense, but if I remember correctly, not too long ago, there was an interview from, like, a blog post from one of the producers saying they're currently hard at work. I'm not sure how much progress has been made since then, so I don't know. Could be not. I'm kind of skeptical.
It's just until the Direct comes out, we're going to be speculating away, but what are you going to do? All right, so moving on to Yoshi. So if you recall, Yoshi has a game coming out for Switch. It is still coming out for Switch. It was supposed to be 2018. Now it's apparently 2019. And the rumors are that it's going to be called like Yoshi's Stitch World or something like that. So we didn't have a name for it previously. All we had was there we go, Yoshi's Crafted World. Which would be accurate, given that it's a cardboard thing. So, I don't know. You hate it?
I hate it. I hate that name. I hate that name more than I hate that stupid boss fight in Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Wow.
We just had Yoshi's Woolly World. Okay, no, why does Yoshi have to have so many worlds? You know, like, you know, it's either Yoshi's Island something or world. Yoshi's blank world. Get more creative. So just leave it as Yoshi. I'd rather it just be called Yoshi than that.
Well, tell us how you really feel, Tyler.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just thinking
we're going to... Remember, this is a rumor. Okay? It might be something else. We don't know. People have had names wrong before. Okay? So I just say let's see what Nintendo has to offer. If it is Crafted World, then feel free to rant again, Tyler.
Crafted World, I don't know. Like, I'm just basically thinking of names. What possibly could be else for such an aesthetic? Like, I don't know.
I was thinking Cardboard Adventure, because like that's the main stick.
Yes, that's better. That's infinitely better. It's just another Yoshi's Blank World. Like, why? Why?
All right, but hopefully, I really do hope this is in the Nintendo Direct, especially with it being 35 minutes and this being a potential 2019. Okay, no, it's got to be 2019. They can't. But, you know, like, I hope we get it, a side of it, another trailer, maybe. We'll just have to see. All right. For me, this is a story that I've been waiting for so long. Capcom has revealed that at the Tokyo Game Show, they're going to have an Ace Attorney panel. And it's going to be 40 minutes long. They're going to have some of the game team there. And they have quoted that. I want to get an exact quote here. They said it will be unmissable for Ace Attorney fans. Which says to me that they are finally going to show like a trailer or a teaser for the Switch version of Ace Attorney that they've been promising since earlier this year. Okay? Because they've said they're bringing Phoenix Wright to Switch. I believe them. And they even hinted that they'll do like the compilations of the first two trilogies. But I need visuals. Visuals, dang it!
Yeah, I'm not a big Ace Attorney guy, so I really don't have a... I'm not... You, I know you were... I saw it, I was like, oh, Todd's going to be pumped. But it doesn't really move the meter for me.
I mean,
maybe I'll get into it, but that's just never been a series that's interested me.
Oh, I know. The only reason I even got into it, I kid you not, was X-Play.
Really?
Yeah, they did a review for Ace Attorney Justice for All, and I liked the idea. I was big, and that I should give a little clarity. At that point in time, I was big into mystery shows, like Hallmark Channel. They had Perry Mason, McBride. I was watching Matlock on the side.
Ah.
So I was big into courtroom dramas for whatever reason. And so when I saw that there was a video game series like this, and they gave it a 4 out of 5, and I really treated X-Play's word as gold back then, And to be fair, they gave a lot of my favorite games 5 stars and all that, like Smash Brothers and Zelda, Twilight Princess and everything. So I was like, oh, let's just try this out. And I liked it. And so then I got the original, and then I got Trials and Tribulations, and the rest is history. But, I fell into this by accident. And so if you give it a chance, especially if they do the compilations on Switch, you might find you like it.
The Ace Attorney games themselves is like quite interesting because in itself it's basically a visual novel, like an interactive visual novel. And one thing that's like really important is like, again, you gotta pay attention to the text. You gotta pay attention to the details. And I still remember like some part of, like in the old games when like you had to actually tap on the touchscreen like a particular spot in order to progress with the story. And
oh yeah,
like. It's definitely, again, if you love your visual novels, this is definitely one of the more better visual novels aside from, I don't know, like Trauma Center. Even that's a bit more of the interactive side of things.
Center.
Because they were like released roughly in the same time period. It's like Ace Attorney, and of course with the whole meme-age of the internet at the years afterward, of course the great line of hold it and objection. It's just... I think also one thing that really got popularity is because of a Marvel vs. Capcom. Like, Ace Attorney was a character in that game.
Well, yeah, but I mean, first of all, he was a character in Ultimate, and by that time the original trilogy was done and his popularity was already secured. So it was, and because he's a Capcom character, he kind of had like in. So it was only a matter of time before he made it into, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom. But it did help, no doubt. But it's the same thing with Rocket Raccoon. He was already a famous guy, sort of, before he went into Marvel vs. Capcom. And then the Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and now he's even more popular. So it's one of those weird things. Meh. Meh to you too. But, and I love this series. I know it doesn't get enough credit for its stories. You know, yes, they're scripted. Yes, they try and point you to this one particular direction. But especially in the later trilogy, not that the first trilogy wasn't good. Trials and Tribulations still has one of my favorite characters of all time in Godot. Dun, 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 dun. Like that song, ladies and gentlemen, every time you hear a Nintendo discussion, that's the Godot song from Trials and Tribulations. That's how much I love that character. But, you know, the Spirit of Justice especially had some excellent animation. This is when they fully embraced the 3DS with the 3D animation, you know, went full scale, and it was great. And to this day, which is insane, something it's only been a few years, it has one of my favorite heartbreaking animations where there's a detective named Emma Sky, and she's forced to testify against a character, and she almost has like a nervous breakdown, and you see it. She's like, I don't want to testify. She's my friend. I know she's not guilty. And the way they convey the animation is so beautiful. It's just like, I've always loved this series. And so I want it on Switch with the HD graphics and the potential for longer stories, more cases. And I'm praying to all the Ace Attorney gods, give me a trailer at TGS. So yeah. Okay. Now, as for the panel itself, it will be on at September 22nd. So mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. So
it's definitely a very exciting time to look forward to Tokyo Game Show. I'm just like really excited what, like, obviously after once they cleared up everything in the natural disaster departments, but just want to see what they're gonna show off in Tokyo Game Show. It's like from Capcom, Sega, all these different like Japanese companies. I'm just really excited what they have in store, even for their own local area. I'm really excited.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, the Typhoon will definitely make TGS a more happy event because they'll just be happy to be diving into games instead of having to deal with the fallout. So So we'll have to see. All right, from prayers to gods to sacrifices to gods, Fire Emblem Heroes, ladies and gentlemen. It apparently has made over $60 million just in this past summer alone. And we could thank half of that to Tyler and Will.
Surprisingly, I did not do a blood sacrifice yet. I did not do it yet. I mean, I was until like probably at the last week or like the last few days of the Choose Your Legends banner, because I still have not gotten Veronica or Hector. Then we just have to wait and see. I mean, I'm really happy that it made $60 million only in this time period alone, but again, I want those to curse another cohort of ours who has all four.
So I did make a blood sacrifice for Marth, so I am $10 of that number, but that's the power of the Choose Your Legends event. I wonder if we'll see more like fan-styled events like this, because these come around once a year, so it is a big deal.
No doubt about it. It seems to be going to become an annual event for this game, honestly. Like, it just seems that, I think it's almost to the point of becoming a tradition now. Like, you have another voting gun and put, like, okay, voting for your next fans. We already have Ike, we already have Ephraim. Now who we want next? Because if I remember correctly, like, the female division and male division themselves are, like, almost down to the wire, almost, like, there was, like, again, Veronica was poppered to the points, and who knows? I just want Camilla. Thank you very much.
I knew you were going to say that, but yeah, I agree. It's going to be an annual thing, and this is where, you know, Intelligent Systems and Nintendo is going to, you know, bank on fans, you know, doing blood sacrifices to try and get the four characters, which as I was thinking about, is the reason why it's a 3% and not an 8%, because they want to have the odds so low that you're forced to do blood sacrifices. So... Now, unlike Tyler, I was able to resist, and I was able to get a hero eventually in Veronica.
One hero.
Shut up, Tyler. I will kill you.
Try all five.
Okay, Marth was a separate banner, so that's technically inaccurate, but whatever.
No, it's very accurate. Marth is the most important.
Lies.
Here we go.
Lies.
Well, that's not. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah, that's another sell it in Smash. But yeah, again, this game is doing good. Remember, it had crossed 400 million a few months ago, and so now it's getting ever closer to 500 million. Guarantee it's going to be there by the end of the year, because we still got September, October, November, December. That's 4 months with potential new banners and events.
And seasonal banners, yeah.
Seasonal banner, Christmas banner, which I'm sure will be popular. So, yeah. They'll probably find another way to throw Tharja into it or Camilla, give them more skimpy outfits because that's what they think people like.
It works, boy. It works.
It works for you, Will. It works for you. Give me a lady like Erica or Lynn any day. Just saying. Moving on to. Oh, yeah. We already talked about this a little, but this was a bit of a surprise. Mega Man 11 demo came out. I believe our leader Keith wrote about it on the site. We got one stage with, what was it, Block Man or something like that?
Yes.
Yep. Block Man stages.
Yep. Block Man stage. So you can get that now. It's totally free. And given that the game is coming out when?
October 5th.
October 5th. So, we are officially less than a month away at the time of this recording. So, you know, this is smart of Capcom, you know, because there's a lot, and we talked about this last week with the rumor, or not right, the potential for the Mega Man X series to come back, but they're really watching the sales of Mega Man 11 to make to see if the Mega Man X series would do well if it came back, despite Tyler like wanting to buy a million copies himself. So the demo is a brilliant idea, and as Nintendo has shown, Switch demos tend to lead to big sales.
They do. Historically, they've been great. This is a good call.
Yeah. So, and the fact that it's come out for Switch first shows that Capcom has faith that the Nintendo fanboys who have Mega Man and Smash Brothers are going to want to play a proper Mega Man game on that on our system. So, we'll see. I don't think I'm going to have the time to play it because I got a con to prepare for next week. But if you guys play it, do let me know your thoughts, and we'll be able to talk about it either next episode or the episode after. So.
Hey, the next episode's gonna be 100 episodes, so yeah.
I know. We're just gonna have to see. We're still planning our 100th episode, everyone. So we're gonna get to that one when it comes to it. But and if you play the Mega Man demo, do let us know what you think on Twitter at @NEPpodcast, at @Guardians_Comic, at @Shadows596, and at @TylerKelbol94.
Yep, got it. First try. Yeah.
Thank you. I tried, and I swear I'm not looking at any of the past pages. All right. So speaking of October, I was about to say it's almost the middle of September, but it's not yet. It's only 9/6. Thank goodness, because I mean, seriously, where does the time go? Also coming out in October is The World Ends With You Final Remix, which I am very excited for, and you both need to buy. Seriously. No, I'm serious. It's a great game. Like, especially you, Will. You'll like it for the anime aesthetic.
Of course. I mean, yeah,
Tyler will like it. Shibuya. Tyler will like it for the gameplay and story aesthetic, which I guarantee you is not cliche. So,
I mean, again, the artwork's by Nomura himself, of course.
This is true. So,
yeah, I was planning on picking that one up.
I'm sure, but I'm like, I'm giving you the Todd seal of approval. you know how valuable that is.
That is valuable.
So, but anyway, the team went to Famitsu and talked about the game, which. First of all, it made me feel old because they said numerous times that it came out 11 years ago on the DS, which just shows how old both the DS and 3DS is. Take a hint, Nintendo. But one of the things they noted was how they changed the game to fit the Switch, which was obviously a big issue because the DS version, the original version, had one character fighting on the top screen and one character fighting on the bottom screen. And then you could control both at the same time, which is a really cool mechanic. But you can't do that on the Switch, technically. So they talked about how they actually had to make sure that the game fit perfectly onto the Switch, that it would fit on the TV or on the Switch screen, which is how I'm going to play, obviously. And that you could actually play co-op by giving one of the Joy-Cons to another player, which is really, really cool. It's also going to use the HD rumble to good effect. They, of course, got the new scenario, which talked about last week, which is going to be very fun. They are hinting that something very special will happen at the end. So we'll see. But they're promising there's going to be new noise, which are the bad guys, new pins, new psychs, the new story edition, And of course, HD graphics. Nomura is working on this one, so you know he's gonna make sure all his work is perfect. So it's gonna be good, and it comes out on October 12th. So
yeah, then, now we're I think we have reached the end of the Switch drought. You know, like the summer drought is
yes.
I think that's in the past at this point. There's a lot of games coming out in the next couple of weeks.
I mean, I'll be fair. I think we still got like 2 weeks because that's when Torna comes out.
Once
that hits, we have that in late September. Then October, of course, we got Dragon Ball FighterZ coming the
28th.
Yeah,
28th. Still on the fence after the demo. Let's see. There you go. Bad demo equals bad equals no buy for Todd. So then, of course, in October, we have Mega Man. We have Worlds With You. We have Super Mario Party. And then November is obviously Pokemon Let's Go. And then potentially something else if the direct is anything to go by, maybe. Then December is a drought. Nothing in December at all. Nothing at all. No ultimate ending to the year. Nope. Nothing to make you smash your buttons on the Switch.
Yeah,
nope.
None
at all. Nothing to me and my bros can play together for fight for superiority. Nothing at all. Okay, we got Smash Brothers. There's that, I suppose. I definitely agree. I mean, we had some spots, you know, obviously with Octopath was the big one, but June actually had a lot of games if you think about it, between Crash, Captain Toad technically, Octopath, but then July was a drought. July.
Captain Toad was July, and Crash was
June. Crash, Octopath, and Captain Toad was July. August was a drought. All right.
Yeah, nothing for Nintendo.
Yeah, then September is mostly a drought, and then late September to October is when it really picks up. So we'll just have to see. But again, hopefully the Nintendo Direct will fill some of the gaps, even if it's just with third-party games. All right, moving on. Okay, this one I'm excited about because we've talked about at length at times the love that gamers have on the Switch for indie games. And it seems like every time, just when you think that the indie craze is going to die down, a new game comes out and you hear a story about how it's selling so much better on the Switch. We got another story about that. This time, it is Dead Cells. If you don't know, this is a very stylized Metroidvania-style game. It got rave reviews. It's got a really great gameplay hook. You know, it's part Metroidvania, part roguelike. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's a live, die, repeat situation, if you will. And no, I'm not referring to Tom Cruise. Did any of you get that reference?
No? Mildly.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so Dead Cells came out. Great reviews. It's only been on sale a few weeks, but already one of the marketing team has noted that the Switch version is outselling all the others to the extent that it's actually outselling the PS4 version of the game 4-1. Now, he didn't give exact numbers, but by any estimation, 4-1 on the Switch is a good margin to have.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. And that game was, it got a lot of press, especially because it was the game that Flip Munchen, however you say his last name, the IGN guy, plagiarized his review for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody liked that game a lot, so I'm sure that the numbers are good. I wonder if we'll...
Including our very own Keith Mitchell, who reviewed it for Outer Haven and gave it a 4.5 out of 5. So, and that guy, and he could be hard to please. So if he gives it a 4.5 out of 5, you know he did something right. So, but again, this is just, again, it's another indie game that is thriving on the Switch. It's just like, it's amazing that whatever the Switch is doing to allure gamers into buying indie games, it's great.
I think it's like, this is just my theory, but like, I think the reason that Nindies has become so successful on the Nintendo Switch platform, I guess it's just the main factor is just, one, it's portable.
Yes.
The fact that, because like, when I think about Nindies times, I always like want to imagine them like, mobile devices. Like, I want to bring them on the go out of like, almost like the Game Boy, the Game Boy Advance during back those times. And like, when I think about playing indie titles on the go, it kind of reminds me about those times of like, yeah, playing simple games on the go, like back on my Game Boy, like these short but great experiences to take with me on the go. It's just like, it works so much more better than just being on a home console. Like, just Of course, there also will be some, like, I don't know, like Scott Pilgrim, those things, bad games are actually pretty grown on a home console, but like indie titles particularly, like, these things are enjoying short bursts, and, like, yeah, take them on with you is, like, very similar to mobile games now I think about it. So
yeah.
I guess that's the appeal of it. It's just, like, one, you can take them away with you.
I think definitely the portability is a big part of it, because it's not that indie games weren't popular. I mean, that's how Steam really came into its own, was it was allowing these indie devs to, you know, bring these titles to a platform where everyone could technically see them. But with the Switch, it's like, not only will you have that, but you don't have to be on your computer. You don't have to be sitting in front of a television just to play them. And that's very alluring. So,
yeah. Right. And, like, ever since during the Switch's release, like, you always notice on social media and everywhere else, like, oh, when we're going to be a Switch party? We're going to be a Switch version. Like, yeah, you notice that there is a lot of clamor always, like, saying, like, is there going to be a Switch version of this game and all that? It's, like, I don't know. Perhaps there are the games that work well on Switch, and there are the good ports out of, like, Doom and Wolfenstein. Like, obviously, if you do a port well on the Switch, I would definitely wholeheartedly support any ports coming to the Switch version. But again, it just kind of shows that Switch's popularity is, like, can we have a Switch version? Can we, like, take it on the go with us? I don't want to go play it on a home console. It's, like, it's very interesting to see.
What do you think, Tyler?
Did you see my breaking news report?
Nani?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
Ah, well, I have some breaking news.
Oh, boy.
Okay, go ahead. Breaking news.
Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition HD announced for Nintendo Switch.
Screw you, Square Enix.
Yes.
Are you serious?
I am 100% serious.
Screw Look at that Twitter you, right Square now.
Enix. Yes. So, That's yes. Stupid. So the Pocket Edition announced for Switch. First of all. They couldn't wait for this? Like, I know this was a thing that was supposed to be announced in the Direct.
I'm
right?
sure it was.
No doubt.
They couldn't wait to announce this then, like, when they actually did the Direct. Secondly, ugh. We've waited for Final Fantasy 15 since we started this show 2 years ago. We've been talking about this game.
Pretty much.
It took them this long to get the Pocket Edition to Switch? That is shocking to me. That is shocking to me, and definitely disappointing.
Yeah, we're definitely going to... I mean, I remember the rumors about Pocket Edition coming to Switch, and then they were debunked, and now they're clearly not. And, oh, hey, it's HD now. Oh, hey, I don't care!
Yeah, it's still a Pocket Edition. I mean, I guess we'll see how it looks, but I do have that game on PS4. I don't have a PS4, but I will not be buying that.
I mean, the Pocket version is obviously if you want a really budgeted version of Final Fantasy 15 in case you can't get a PS4 or HD setup, whatever. So this thing is basically the poor's guide version of Final Fantasy 15.
I mean, don't get me wrong. For a mobile game, this was fine. It was fine. I mean, the intent was just to, you know, give a mobile version of the game in case you didn't have a console. I respect that. I do not respect that you are bringing this to the Switch instead of the main version, which we've been begging for years, or, you know, 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Todd, art thou not happy?
Yeah. But anyway, so we were talking about before that Dead Cells and how good it was selling on Switch, right?
Yeah, please save us from Final Fantasy Pocket Edition.
Right. The indie games, you opened the topic by saying that, you know, just when you thought the stories were going to stop. I don't think the stories were ever going to stop. I just think that this is the normal for the Switch. This is just how, you know, how things are going to go with that console. The indie games are perfect for the Switch.
But, well, I look forward to seeing what the next indie success is, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Said that a lot this show.
That's basically a catchphrase now.
Hey, maybe that's why I should change the episode title, too. We're just going to have to wait and see. Wait and see on Mega Man, wait and see on Yoshi, wait and see on Nintendo Direct. Well, wait and see how many more times Will and Tyler make blood sacrifices, you know, the good stuff.
Well, there, just for the record, we might not have to wait and see about the Direct, because there was a leak that I saw earlier in the
day. Don't say a word. I don't want to know.
I'm not going to say a word, but if you're interested, people, you can check it out online. There is high potential for a requested Smash Bros. Character to be introduced, given the Final Fantasy theme being true.
Interesting. All right, well, we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on and cleanse the palate of one terrible third-party game with an infographic from a great third-party game, Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. It may seem hard to believe, but it's already been over a year since the game came out. And given that there was, you know, the DLC quest and the Donkey Kong expansion, there's been a lot of people playing this game. So Ubisoft decided to release a one-year infographic detailing, you know, the most picked rosters, the best characters that were picked, how long people would play it, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to ask you guys right now, do you have this infographic up in front of you?
No.
Okay, dude, don't. I want to pull you on this. Okay. What do you think? Okay, I want you to picture all the characters in the game, not including the expansion. So Donkey Kong and Cranky Rabbit aren't in this. But who do you think is the most picked roster from the game? Tyler, start with you.
Well, Mario's 100%. So
guaranteed.
Yeah. Rabbit Peach is great. So Rabbit Peach, I would say, is the most.
Yes.
Ah, man, Rabbit Peach is pretty good.
Okay, so who's the third character, though?
Ooh.
Remember, a team of three. So right, Mario, Rabbit Peach, and...
That's a good question.
I personally think Luigi's probably the best one as well.
Oh, it's not Luigi? Well, then Yoshi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's how it goes. 100% of gamers, 100% picked Mario.
Because he's forced.
Of course.
He is? I thought you could change him out.
No, you can't.
Okay, I forgot. Okay, fine. Huh. 47% picked Rabbit Peach.
I mean, she's...
38% picked Yoshi. 27% picked Rabbit Luigi. 26% had Rabbit Mario. 20% had Peach. I am the 20%. And 19% had Rabbit Yoshi.
Huh. Weird that Rabbit Yoshi was that. I mean, I guess not really. You get him super late, so your team is probably established. I would have thought Peach would have been higher.
Me too. Anyway, but here's another thing. Despite Rabbit Yoshi being the lowest picked character, he was the number one damage dealer in the game, doing an average of 344 damage per fight. And then regular Peach, was the biggest damage taker with 169 HP per fight.
Peach is a tank.
Yeah, Peach is a tank. That's why I liked her on my team, her and Rabbit Peach. All right, so here we got. So enemies defeated. There were 139 million Smashers, 109 million Hoppers, 35 million Valkyries, 307 million Ziggies were killed in the playing of this game. Oh, gosh. All right, here's another fun fact. 674 million kilometers were crossed in the playing of this game among all characters, or all players. 4.5 billion liters of honey were poured into this game. for the record, that's apparently enough to fill up 11,480 time washing machines. Rabbits. Okay, why are they wording it like this? Anyway, enough to fill up 11,480 time washing machine rabbits. So, or something like that. Let's see. Accumulated time spent fighting the rabbits is 888 years, which would apparently make Rabbit Cranky a young boy. That's kind of sad. Here we go. Wall of Fame. Okay. 9% of players got bronze trophies. 33% of players were able to get a lot of silver trophies. 58% of players were able to get a lot of gold trophies. And only 5% of players were able to get a perfect run, a gold trophy in every fight. And I can happily say that I am not one of the 5%. I'm not afraid to. I got a lot of silvers, but I got a lot of golds too, so. I think a few times I got bronze, but that was just because I had tried to get out of the levels. You know how it is. But I love this game, and this was one of the biggest surprises about 2017 with the Switch. Because no one expected this game to be good. Then we saw E3, and it was good, and we got it, and it was better. And it and Octopath are now, I guess, going to be fighting for the best third party seller on the Switch.
Yeah. Well, Octopath did 1 million in a month, so I think Octopath will probably best it, if I had to guess.
Rabbids sold 1 million in a month.
Did it in a month?
Did. It was a big deal. It was a big deal because everyone was like, whoa, that actually did sell well.
See, I didn't think we knew how well it did for a long time.
It didn't reveal it for a while, but they revealed that it sold over 1 million in a month. So okay. I don't know where it is now. I'll look it up. But yeah.
About 2 million now.
Maybe. That would be
no,
awesome.
It is at 2 million now. That was part of the, yeah.
Right, but in the NBA. Yeah.
Oh, part of the what?
That was part of the news story.
Oh, it was?
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
see that. All
it's
I saw
the
was
last report, the last sales report last night, remember, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Good job on Ubisoft and Rabbids. Two million. That's not bad. So, but yeah, so you say Octopath's going to have its work cut out for it. It's got to catch up to Rabbids, so we'll see.
Mm-mm.
All right, now, we here at NEP, we have a little bit of a curse going on with us. We do the show on Thursdays because it's free and it's, you know, before the weekend and all that. But we seem to have this curse going on to where big news will happen on Friday, and so we have to wait 6 days to talk about it. So, Will, why don't you reveal what was revealed to us last Friday?
So, yeah, I said to crew that, oh, with our luck, we're going to have news in the next following morning. Well, lo and behold, because we just came out from PAX, and remember how much I said I love Travis Touchdown? Yeah, apparently there was news of Travis Touchdown that came out of PAX on the first day. So, Suda51 went to PAX, came and announced on the first day of PAX that Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes is officially coming on 2019, missing its original 2018 scheduled release date. Like, I've been craving a release date for so long, and now we get it the day after I requested for it. It's like, geez, of all, ask and thou shalt receive, as I wrote in my article. And it's kind of strange regarding to why it has been pushed back to 2019 when it was originally announced for a 2018 release year. And the interviews have been coming out from PAX regarding with him, and there has been a bit of a running joke, maybe it's a half joke, but he cheeky said that, as you know, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is coming on December, and I feel like I didn't want to go and push, like, affect the sales negatively, so we decided to give decided to push our game back to give Smash Bros. Ultimate a break. I'm not sure if this like a cheeky response or is it half jokingly, but overall, it seems that most likely they did not want to go and compete against Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, given again it's Smash Bros. You don't want to go in front of such a juggernaut like that in the same month. Though personally for me, I feel like Travis Strikes Again won't really affect too much. Granted, it's just kind of like really merged within the Nindies market, along with like a half Nindies, half main title spinoff game hybrid. I don't know. It's kind of in that specific category. So I feel like it wouldn't be affected. But heck, if they give some more time to polish up the product, then heck, by all means, go right ahead. But it gets kind of a question if Suda51 has a bit of a, I don't know. Perhaps it was a joke, perhaps it's a bit of ego saying, like, it could possibly been affect Smash Bros. Sales. I have no idea, as you
it
know.
It would have done the opposite. It would have affected Travis Touchdown sales. Come on.
Maybe.
If you go to gamers, and you not named Will, and you go, you know, we can give you one game, and you can't play the other one, Smash Brothers or No More Heroes, what are you going to get? You're going to pick Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Like I said, asking people not named Will.
He was being funny with that one. Like that was absolutely a joke.
I mean, it's possible given the whole, you know, time window and development that if they did release it, it would be done at earliest at December. And to ensure that they didn't mess with Smash Brothers, you know, out of both respect and fear of losing sales, they go, let's put it a month after it. And
right, they did.
So, now granted, this means they won't get the Christmas rush, but the Christmas rush is going to be focused on Smash Brothers and past Nintendo games and most definitely not No More Heroes. So,
So basically, Grasshopper Studio and Suda51 is basically focusing on the 2019 year, which I think is probably a good way to start 2019, to say the least.
Because that'll help us not have a big drought at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year, given what we know about 2019 so far. So.
That it is. And, the release date is officially January 18th of 2019. That is a
perfect
Friday, last I checked.
And it's over a month since the release of Ultimate, so it's plenty of breathing room. So.
And just a compliment as well, like, alongside with this news, like, Suda51 also showed off like new clothing avatars in collaboration with Devolver Digital, and like there's a lot of games that the Devolver Digital has made, which like from Hotline Miami, all these different titles. I think like wasn't Dead Cells. I don't know. There's a lot of titles from Digital Revolver that they have published. Like I can't name it all, but basically they have like all these collaboration avatar shirts for Travis Touchdown. It is available in the game. So as I've written the article, like Suda51 is really going hard with the whole Nindy support. And granted, this recent trend of Nindy support with the Nintendo Switch, I think is probably a good option for Suda51. So yeah, more spotlight for the Bobber Digital and Suda51's game. It's, I don't know, as you said, Nindies are big right now on Nintendo Switch.
It is true. All right, last piece of news is Best Buy is apparently going to be holding a demo of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate in certain cities. Now, when I tried to actually find the Best Buy page about this, it was, you know, taken down for some reason or whatever. But it is apparently out there. You can find lists of cities. And again, demos equal good sales for Nintendo. And Smash Brothers is always good for Nintendo. So be on the lookout for that.
Like in the local area, like yeah, I think it's more or less during this entire month period. Last I checked, yeah, it's obviously until the coming release month of December. So yeah, they're gonna be doing demo stations throughout, like in New York to Florida, in your major cities. So yeah, definitely keep a lookout for it.
All right, now as we've noted numerous times on this podcast, we were supposed to be having a Nintendo Direct talk today. That didn't happen. So we have something just as fun that was found because of Twitter, of all things. So a person posted a poll, and the poll was simply this. Pick one thing that they suggested for the Nintendo Switch, but then you can't get the rest. Like, all other three, they're going to be gone forever. And Tyler was really, really into this, and we had a little bit of fun picking different things. So we're going to do that right now as we settle it in Smash. Okay, now unlike that one poll, we're not going to pick from one poll. We're actually going to pick from three. Each of us have made their own poll. Will might actually have to change his now because of that breaking news. You know the one I'm talking about.
Right.
But that's your choice.
You might have to.
I mean, you could do it how you have it originally, but, you know, it may not have as much impact now. But we each have a list of four things. And what we're going to do is we're going to say our four options. The other two are going to make their picks and defend them. Then we're going to make our picks, which we will obviously feel are the correct answers, with quotation marks, obviously. And we're just going to have a lot of fun torturing each other to pick one of four potentially great things. So, Tyler, since this was your idea, more or less, I want you to go first.
All right. So, my four games. So, one lives, the rest are gone forever.
Cannot have them.
Cannot happen. So I'm starting off. I went really harsh. I said
Mother
3 gets released. Mm.
Released in the West.
Right, correctly. Released in the West. A traditional Paper Mario game, Paper Mario Revival, gets released. A Bethesda-styled Pokemon RPG gets released for consoles. Or a 2D Zelda title comes to Switch.
Monster.
Pick your choice.
Now, okay, I'll go first on this one because... For the record, I probably should have ridiculed you for Mother 3 because you are a big Earthbound fan. But I being as a lot of people want Mother 3 and Nintendo even makes fun of itself because it keeps getting all Mother 3 requests, I'm going to let that one slide. But I'm still not picking that one. Traditional Paper Mario game, like the original and Thousand Year Door, two incredible RPGs. That's so hard. A Bethesda-style Pokemon RPG for consoles, which, for the record, I gave you that idea, okay? You heard that off of me on this podcast multiple times. So,
that's true. You have. No, let's be honest. That's something that a lot of people have wanted, but yes.
I wrote about it in 2008.
Definitely your idea.
So, actually, no, that wasn't. That was 2012. Okay, 12, still 6 years. But yeah, like that's a dream right there. And then 2D Zelda title. So I'm gonna eliminate Mother 3 because, you know, I can live without it. A 2D Zelda title, I can live without that because that means that now the entire Zelda team is working on the sequel to Breath of the Wild, whatever that may be.
That's so outside the box way to think about it.
Yeah, well, I gotta pick one, so I gotta reason somehow. Okay, which leaves me with Paper Mario Revival, true Paper Mario Revival, or Bethesda style RPG. Oh gosh, this is hard because we know that there is a Pokemon game coming, and that is a core RPG. But the way they're sounding, it makes it sound like it'll just be an advanced version of the handhelds, which is fine in context, but that's totally different from a Bethesda style, like Super Skyrim Pokemon RPG. And then, of course, I love Paper Mario, though I have. It deserves to be brought back and give us the proper sequel to Thousand Year Door that we deserve. I'm regretfully going to pick Bethesda-style Pokemon RPG.
Wow, okay.
Because not only did I have this idea in 2012, and I still want this idea to this day, I just think that this, if they got Bethesda to do it, especially, because frankly, I wouldn't trust Nintendo to do it Bethesda style. Bethesda has to do it Bethesda style. So it would be so off the hook. Like this would be like a game you couldn't make a sequel to, because Bethesda would go Skyrim on it, and they're like, how the heck are you gonna make a sequel to that? So as much as I would love to see Intelligent Systems redo Paper Mario the correct way, I will go with Pokemon.
You murdered Paper Mario and all of our dreams with Mother 3. I mean,
all
that,
of your dreams. So you shut up.
I'm not surprised that you picked that. I would have guessed that you would have picked that.
It was Paper Mario. It really was. It wasn't even close. So, yeah. All right, Will, what's your choice of the four?
For me, like I'm going for Bethesda style Pokemon RPG for the consoles. Honestly, it just feels that idea is just so unexplored territory. Also, same, it has so much potential. I mean, yeah. I always did wonder in first person how the Pokemon world is ever since the days of like Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only time you actually see the world in first person view.
And like, for the record, when I wrote up my idea for the Wii U, this is when the Wii U was out, I made sure that there was a Pokemon Snap minigame, like a large scale Pokemon Snap minigame in my Bethesda Pokemon RPG. So I had all fan bases covered.
Right. So, we're going to if Bethesda made something granted with the license of Pokemon, I could only imagine how explore the Pokemon world. We explore the regions of Kanto, Hoenn, all these different regions that we know that's in the Pokemon series, and how would it be rendered? That's what I wonder. Like, do we actually have to use Pokemon, or is it gonna be it's going to be in scope and size? Like, are we going to fight against Groudon in its massive titan form? I don't know. I think there's so much possibility of actually finally seeing these Pokemon in scale. Like, are they very small? Are they very big? I mean, maybe it's just too much on processing power, but it gives so much wonder, and I can't help but hope for that kind of project to come to fruition. Like, other else, Mother 3, again, I'm not a big Earthbound fan, but I respect it, but heck, it hasn't been here so far yet, so I'm not gonna miss it too much. Traditional Paper Mario game, again, Thousand Year Door will always be the best game, and they kind of butchered it in these last few games, so I don't know, I'm not really holding my breath, honestly. And a 2D Zelda title coming to Switch, not really, I'm not feeling it. I just don't feel it.
Well, I guess I am kind of surprised by Will. I thought you might go with the 2D Zelda, actually. But I would actually, of all four of these, I would say the Bethesda-style Pokemon RPG would be my least favorite.
Oh, gosh.
Not because I don't think it would be cool, but because, one, that's a really ambitious project, so I wouldn't be sure that it would be amazing. But also because I like Pokemon as it is. I'm disappointed in Let's Go because it's watering down the experience. I would be totally fine with the Pokemon formula just getting creative tweaks like that we saw in Gen 7 and leaving that. So that would be crossed off for me right away. Then a 2D Zelda game. I love The Link Between Worlds. It was great, but I agree with Todd on that. I would rather just have another sprawling 3D Zelda game. Not that I don't love the 2D ones, but for Switch, I would be okay with not having another Judy Zelda, so I'll cross that one off. Then it comes down to Mother 3 or a traditional Paper Mario game. And you know, Earthbound, my favorite game of all time, Mother 3 is supposed to be amazing. It's got a heart-wrenching story. I'm a sucker for a heart-wrenching story. It's a profound game in many ways. However, I'm actually not going to pick it because there are other ways to play it. So you could get it online, and Nintendo's been shutting down ROM, so maybe it's not as doable now as it used to be. But I would say I'd cross that one off because a traditional Paper Mario game would be the best. The Paper Mario series is just, it's phenomenal. The first two games were, like, you know, as we all say, they're just amazing, high quality games, and getting away from that formula made absolutely no sense. I mean, the writing in the games are phenomenal. The gameplay's great. It's a light RPG. It's not overly complicated, but they're always fun, and they're just so charming. The Paper Mario 64 and Thousand Year Door stand the test of time. You can still go back and love those games today. And it's very sad to me that Nintendo has opted to go for the more generic Mario RPG series on the 3DS with the, you know, inside story style as their traditional Mario RPG outlet, because the Paper series has always been significantly better. So I would go with that one, because the other ones I could get in other ways and be happy.
I admit, I am surprised by that. I thought for sure you were going to go for Mother 3. So impressed. All right, Will, give us our options.
Okay, like this one I'm is more or less kind of suited to my personal taste.
Gee, so... we didn't notice that at all. This is my surprise voice.
Okay, so given to the news of the breaking news, this kind of takes away my first choice. And like my first option was basically put any of the Final Fantasy games on Nintendo Switch.
Okay, I'll give you a pass because still want the main Final Fantasy 15, but more than that, I would happily accept Final Fantasy 7 Remake.
Yeah,
like a Final Fantasy 7 Remake, so, or like even Final Fantasy 10, which I personally love.
Or how about Final Fantasy 16 whenever that comes out?
Final Fantasy 16 or Final Fantasy 9? I mean, personally, I love 9, but yeah, like bring a Final Fantasy game to the Switch. Thing, I'd be amazed.
So that's one.
Second choice is Atlus has been very good with their licenses on Nintendo, especially with the coming Shin Megami Tensei game coming. But how about bring some Persona love to the Nintendo Switch?
Now, like, when you say Persona, you mean the main titles?
Like, it's fun. Yeah, the main titles, Persona, like, 3, like, yeah, 1, 2, 3, and 4. They were remake on the PSP, but also bring them, like, not bring them to the Switch. It actually would make a lot of sense.
Or 5?
Or five, because, like, funny enough, like, here's a little trivia, because the Persona games themselves were actually spin-off titles from the Shin Megami Tensei games, so, yeah, it's kind of a funny story, really. So, yeah, the Persona games coming to the Nintendo Switch, I mean, heck, 3, 4, or 5, those are great, will be great additions. Third choice. Mario goes back to the 7 Stars RPG developed by Square Enix. Because it kind of goes along with your idea of going to a Paper Mario RPG, the traditional format. I would like them to bring Paper Mario, like the Mario, back to the Legend, Super Mario RPGs that was made by a Squaresoft.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a dream come true. Like, I personally, like, seeing Mario again, like, redone on the modern age, like, it's a lot of potential. I really hope for it to be made. My last choice. This one also kind of goes along with the whole Bethesda's RPG, but I want Zelda to go full JRPG by Square Enix. Like, because we've always been talking about, like, how, like, there are, like, famed franchises that never explore a territory. I mean, look at Mario finally holding a gun. That's, we never expected that.
That's
so
true.
Why not have Zelda go full JRPG? Zelda has explored the open world, have explored the side-scroller, even has a crossbow shooter, so why not go full JRPG in this game, and developed by Square Enix, which they are known for its crafts. The possibilities are there, like, have Zelda, Link, even supporting characters like Impa, like, becoming a, like, full JRPG, like Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy, like, that thing, I would pay good money to see. But if I have to choose
one... No, you pick last. You have to, because you have to defend why yours is the correct answer. But Tyler, make your pick.
Right. So these are all good choices, but I actually am going to go with the Final Fantasy games on Switch. Oh. Now, when you say, like in your original message, you said Final Fantasy VII or others. I am saying I would like even the original PS1 Final Fantasy VII
to be
playable on Switch, because I've never played any of those games and I really want to. I only own 3 and 15. And 10, but I've never beaten any of them. So I would love to get those on Switch, and I would play the heck out of them. I like the other choices a lot as well, but kind of in line with my thought for my choices, Zelda, you know, full JRPG, I mean, I think that would be fun, but I like Zelda as is. I don't really feel like Zelda needs to shift to that world. I mean, yeah, it's not a bad fit for sure, but I don't think it's totally necessary. Super Mario RPG is an excellent game, but again, I like the Paper series more. So if they did go back to that sort of, like, you know, a console styled game that was similar to that, I would be happy and I'd love it, but I would be disappointed that it wasn't Paper. And Persona, probably my second top choice out of all of those, because again, I haven't played those games and I know that they're amazing, but I'm good with my Atlus stuff, like Shin Megami Tensei 5. I'm very excited for that. So I don't really feel like I need Persona, but as a gamer, I have not played enough Final Fantasy, so I'm going to go in that direction.
Impressive. Okay. For me, this is an interesting one, because for the record, Will's original first choice was a Skies of Arcadia sequel or whatever for Switch. And we're like, really? We're totally going to pick that. Well, man, you should get rid of that. So yeah, just want to make that very, very clear. All right, so first off, as much as I have heard great things about the Persona games, including our very own Daisy Delilah, absolutely loving that title. She's made, like, numerous Facebook profile pics of her and, like, Persona 5 stuff. It feels funny. I have no interest. So, I mean, I know it'll be big for Will, so maybe that's why I'm getting rid of it first. Kidding. Maybe. But, you know, I can live without Persona. Final Fantasy. This is a tricky one, because I'm just gonna throw the net here, because I know, like, even if we didn't get the breaking terrible news about the Pocket Edition, I know we were gonna get Final Fantasy game on Switch eventually. It was just a question of which one. But especially now with the Pocket Edition, it's now ever more prevalent for us to get the Final Fantasy VII remake, which is in development heck, or you know, Final Fantasy 15 in its pure form, or the potential of Final Fantasy 14 or 16 should it ever come out in the Switch's time. You know, that's important, but I could live without that. Now, the Zelda pick, unlike Tyler's Zelda pick, which was a little basic, but, you know, it was important in context, I like the idea of Square Enix grabbing the franchise and turning it into a JRPG. Because it worked for Mario. Because there was a time, remember, where Mario wasn't an RPG. It was, or associated with RPGs in any way. It was always a platformer. Then Squaresoft came in, made it an RPG, and it's one of the most respected games of all time. And led to one of the best series of all time in Paper Mario before they went to all the dark, dark ages of Sticker Star and Paper... thank you. Oh, okay, I'm better now. So the idea, though, of Square Enix getting a Zelda and turning it on its head, very appealing. I'm not gonna lie, that is very appealing. So good job on that, Will. So I'm just gonna put that, but I'm gonna put that to the side for right now. Mario, going back to Seven Star Saga, you know, dang, I would want that. I remember dreaming about that game, and then I finally got it, and then I never beat it because I had life interfere. But to get, like, a full-on modern HD Switch RPG with Mario and crew, I think would be so much fun, especially given everything that Square Enix has obviously learned over the years. So the question now is, do I want a Zelda RPG or do I want a Mario RPG? And as much as I hate to say it, I'm going to have to go against Zelda and go Mario. So I'm picking Mario getting a pure 7-star sequel for the Switch.
So yeah. Todd hates Paper Mario is what I'm understanding. He hates it. He kills it on my list, and yet he picks it here.
Hey, just like last time, it was a very hard choice, and I would love Paper Mario to go back to pure form, but I don't think they'll
Fake
do
fan.
It. But there is a chance that Mario could go, you know, Square Enix RPG. So there you go. All right, Will, please tell us what's your pick and why is it Persona?
Surprisingly enough, it's not Persona.
What? Like,
as much as I respect and love Persona's franchises, having Persona on the Switch itself, it's... Again, Atlus themselves have kind of like said, like, who is coming up with these ideas to bring Persona to the Switch? And as much as I would love playing Persona games, like, again, like, because we always seen handheld Persona games like the Persona 1 and Persona 2 on the PlayStation Portable back in the day. So why not bring a Persona game to the Switch? It would make sense. But given the fact that it's kind of one, like, ever since it's moved to home consoles like the PS3 and PS4, it just feels like, I mean, I can live with it. I can live without having a Persona game on the go. I mean, heck, with the upcoming Persona Q2 coming, hopefully, stateside, then, heck, I got my fix for the time being. Final Fantasy or any other Final Fantasy games on the Nintendo Switch would be a dream, if anything else. However, I feel like it just feels like this kind of goes against the whole branding of, like, with Sony. I mean, sure, there's always that, because Final Fantasy has always been a whole Sony poster boy thing that's always synonymous with Sony, so it's going to be very hard to see. I mean, granted, even with the old classic games, like the original Final Fantasy on the SNES back in the day, like, sure, I would not mind having a Final Fantasy back in on a Nintendo console, but we lived for so long without a Final Fantasy game on a Nintendo platform, I don't think I would really miss it too much. So it really comes down to regarding to if I want to go back to Mario RPG or have a full-fledged Zelda JRPG. It's this one I'm kind of racking my brain over, but if I have to choose which one lives and which one dies, I want a Zelda JRPG. Like, and the one thing that really pushed me to go with this idea is, remember that Nomura art when they announced the cloud?
Like Cloud for Smash?
Yes. When you see Link clash swords with Cloud. Like, I would pay hard money to see, like, Link actually make a cameo, like, Cloud Strife having a cameo appearance in Zelda. Like, where is this place? And there's a time warp. Heck, even, like, Link facing up against Sephiroth of all things. I don't know. It's, like, fan fiction material right there. Because, again, Mario RPG, we had to face against Culex back in the original days. And that thing was like, who would have thought you face a Final Fantasy boss in a Mario game of all else? So heck, why not give the proper spotlight to Link and have him cross over into Final Fantasy universe, like face off against Cloud, have him cross swords, Sephiroth, heck, even, I don't know, even face off against like common baddies that you see. Like, sure, it may not be like a whole universal crossover thing like that, because I still want the Zelda JRPG to be based in like Hyrule or Termina, whatever like the setting is. But if they have like a cameo appearance of Final Fantasy characters facing off against Zelda characters, is like, that's a dream come true right there. I mean, that it almost, I feel like it's almost in the level of Smash levels. So I would like to see that.
All right, very interesting. We all picked something different. That's very cool. All right, my turn, and this, you guys are gonna suffer here. So here you go. My four options are the following. Number one, F-Zero is reborn, headed up by Retro Studios. Golden Sun. Okay, you each had your picks. This is one of my picks, all right? Golden Sun is reborn by Intelligent Systems. So the Fire Emblem team would be making Golden Sun, which I find appealing. Number three, you could have your all-time favorite video game character, Nintendo or any made by anybody else, announced for Smash Brothers. Or you could have a Zelda caliber new IP announced for Switch. Now, I want to give us some context here. For the last two, I seriously mean it. Any video game character you want will be in Smash Brothers. And two, I think of like Breath of the Wild level of quality and caliber. You know that this game is going to be that caliber, and Nintendo announces it. It's not Zelda. It's a you know, a new IP that has that kind of power to it. So those are your options. F-Zero by Retro, Golden Sun by Intelligent Systems, your favorite video game character in Smash Brothers, or a Zelda quality new IP.
Hmm.
Will, you go first.
Okay, so bottom of the list, I'll kill off right now Golden Sun. Unfortunately, I'm not really much of a big fan. I know a lot of people respect the Golden Sun franchise. Huh? My best friend loves it, especially with the whole shipping wars.
This was my Persona Mother 3 pick. So, yeah, you each had yours. I had mine. So there you go.
So right, and the whole, like, then I remember still back in the day, the shipping wars, the whole mud ships, the whole...
Move on, Will.
I know. So, yeah, Golden Sun, out. F-Zero, as much as I would love the game to come back.
Ugh. Made by Retro.
By Retro. I think this probably could be made from a different studio. So, yeah, F-Zero, Boko. It really comes down to that last two. Having a favorite character come to Smash Bros. Heck, I still want Travis Touchdown, as I've been preaching many of these podcasts past.
So there you go. You want Travis Touchdown, so you can either have Travis Touchdown in Smash Brothers, cemented in history, or a brand new powerful Zelda quality IP for the Switch.
Tadashi, yes. As much as I would love Travis Touchdown to come to Smash, Zelda caliber new IP coming to the Switch that may perhaps even trumps Breath of the Wild. That is just simply appealing overall. Like, Breath of the Wild is already an amazing game, obviously subjective and all. Like, depending if you want to say it's the best game. But to have another game that probably even best Breath of the Wild, like, that's just something that's really very enticing than over Smash Bros. Like, Smash Bros. Itself is like, heck, I would like to have Goku or anything else to come to the Smash universe would be really crazy. It's fan fiction material right there. But Zelda is just timeless. If anything else, like, to have something like really powerful that trumps Breath of the Wild is, heck, if Eiji Onuma continues lives long enough to make such a game, I would want to see it. So yeah, I'll take the Zelda caliber new IP for Switch.
I did not see that coming. That's right. All right, Tyler. How about you? I'm very curious for this one.
Yeah, right away, I'm Xing off F-Zero. Don't care about F-Zero. Like, I would be more than... Like, I would much rather it be Star Fox Racing. Like, Retro's new mysterious project. I just don't care about F-Zero.
New mysterious project.
I feel as though F-Zero is irrelevant, to be honest. So I don't want that. That's just straight up an X. Your favorite character announced for Smash... Super tempting, but they've already announced my favorite characters for Smash. Prom and Marth. I'm good on that. So I'll cross that off.
Tis true.
The last two for me are Golden Sun Reborn by Intelligent Systems or a new Zelda caliber IP. Now, the Zelda caliber IP, like when you... I feel like that's the correct answer. Like, if you were to be, like, smart and not emotional, you would go with that one. But I am not going with that. I'm going to say Golden Sun Reborn by Intelligent Systems.
Wow.
I've never played Golden Sun, ever. All I know about it is Isaac comes in as an assist trophy in Smash, and he shoots the little hand glowy things, and he seems really cool. But yes, as a lover of RPGs and Intelligent Systems, I've always wanted to play Golden Sun, even though I admit I literally know nothing about it. It's just a series that recently has really appealed to me, especially with the rumors about Isaac being in Smash. That's the one I want. I would actually... Intelligent Systems is just my favorite developer. I love all of their games. They made the Paper Mario games going back in the day. Of course, Fire Emblem Advanced. Where, I mean, they just make incredible games.
They do.
And to see what they could do with a series like Golden Sun and giving players like me who missed out on it, it was a very niche series, a chance to go back and play it. Yeah, I would take that. And just a spin zone, if Intelligent Systems made a Golden Sun game, it could become one of the more popular Nintendo IPs. So maybe we don't need a brand new one. Rather, we could reinvent those older ones and kind of bring them back. Except for F-Zero. F-Zero is just Mario Kart's right there. There's a ton of great racing games. So, yeah. But
you wouldn't say that if it was Diddy Kong Racing.
I love Diddy Kong Racing. But honestly, like, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed is Diddy Kong Racing, but better. So I would actually say that.
All right, very good. Very interesting. Very interesting picks. All right, so... Looking at my picks, I will agree that I have to get rid of F-Zero. Though I do think that Retro could totally bring back F-Zero to the prominence that many fans felt it deserves. Because remember, it used to be one of the biggest games in the franchise, in the Nintendo library, and then it just sort of died out after the GameCube era. I want them to make it, But if I had to pick, I couldn't go with them. So that's gone. Golden Sun. I admittedly have only played Dark Sun, which is, depending on who you talk to, is either one of the best ones or one of the worst ones. I liked it. I didn't beat it, but I liked it. It was very fun, and it was a big deal when it got announced. But for Intelligent Systems to make it and basically bring their Fire Emblem greatness to this game, and again, bring it to the Switch, HD graphics, you know, better screen, you know, more time for story, so much potential there. But I can't pick that. So, goodbye, Golden Sun. And thus, it goes to the new IP or Smash Bros. And this is very difficult because we always are looking for new IPs. Okay? That's why ARMS was so special and why it's Tyler's greatest game of all time.
Shut up.
You said it. We have proof. You know, when ARMS came out, we weren't sure what to make of it. And then we saw it in action and it worked. Same with Splatoon and Pikmin. Pikmin, my gosh, how that got working, you know, you have to wonder at times, but it worked. And so if we had a game of the quality of Zelda, you know, not necessarily Zelda, obviously, it could be any genre they want, but if they had it the quality and greatness that Zelda has shown to gamers, it would truly be wonderful. And Tyler, you said it perfectly. If we are going off of logic and not emotion, then the answer is obvious. It's the Zelda IP. But I'm the host, so I can use emotion. So I say, screw that. I want my character in Super Smash Bros. And you both know who I want. I want Wolf Link and Midna in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I don't care that Midna's an assist trophy. We can remove her. We can put her on the back of Wolf Link, and they would be so freaking epic. God bless emotion.
Yeah, I mean, Wolf Link would be an amazing character if it didn't mean we would have Link, 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 and Link on the character selection screen. But,
well, no, it'd be Link, 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 and Wolf Link.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I know, I would still work great. Yeah. Honestly, they could just kind of get around that and say Midna and Wolf Link. So yeah. Midna
there
would
you
be
go.
The, you know, the headline character.
And again, the best part is this would be 100% not a clone because it's a wolf version of Link, so he doesn't have his sword, he doesn't have his shield, he'll have the powers of Midna with him, and then again, the final smash is Forbidden Shadow. Perfect! So, yeah.
I just gotta pitch this to you guys on the subject of Smash characters.
Okay.
My roommate and I were discussing all the great Echo Fighters that needed to be in the game, and we had some good ones, you know, but then it hit us, the greatest Echo Fighter of all times. Now, it's Big the Cat and Froggy from Sonic the Hedgehog as an Echo Fighter of Rosalina and Luma.
Oh my god. Oh,
how do you feel about this?
You
it's
can
perfect.
Screw you. How dare you try and put Big the Cat in Smash Brothers? It's the worst Sonic character. It's the worst
Luma.
Sonic
There's
character
no
of all time.
It's just
I don't care
skin.
If it's an Echo, it's an abomination.
I mean, unless John DiMaggio plays in
the
game, then
I
would
cat.
Not mind.
Do you hear me, Tyler? I want Waluigi before I get Big the Cat. Kidding me? All right, just because I'm curious. Okay, if you did do the whole Smash Brothers character, so Will wants Travis Touchdown. Who would you want? Like, you have to pick someone else because I know you got Crom and everything, but if you could have any other video game character, who would you want, Tyler?
Oh god!
Any character.
Any character.
Any
well,
character.
We're going in two directions with this. It's either Banjo Kazooie or Dixie Kong. And I had to say Banjo Kazooie. I had to say Banjo
Kazooie. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. What did you pick of our list? Do let us know. Or if you have another choice that you think is a better one, let us know that too. And of course, let us know what you think about the Nintendo Direct delay, Ace Attorney at TGS. Are you going to get the Mega Man demo? What have you bought? Dead Cells. Red Cells. That sounds like a great game title, though. Dead Cells for the Switch. And what are you going to be trying to play the Best Buy demo of Smash Brothers Ultimate? Do let us know. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Yes. Our poll question last week was, will Super Smash Bros. Ultimate surpass Super Smash Bros. Brawl in total sales? And Brawl sold about 13.5 million copies, and 93% of you said yes.
Oh. Dang.
So that's a lot of confidence.
I think that's one of our biggest margins ever.
Yeah, that's a rout.
It's gotta be.
Do people know how much 13.5 million copies of any game is? Like, that's a lot of copies.
I mean, and again, now granted, right now the Switch is at 20 million, and by the time Smash Bros. Comes out, it'll be close to being like getting close to 25, especially with the holiday sales. So that would literally be over half the fan base at the present time. So, and of course, this is still very early in its lifespan. It's not even into year, officially into year two, even though we are in year two. But you know, there's a lot of potential out there. I personally voted yes. So. I think it will. So let's see. 93%. It's like two voters said, you know, no. So
yes.
Screw you. All right. For this week's poll question, I want to do something a little fun. So we're going to continue the pick one, burn two.
So let's take each of our personal picks.
That's actually what I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
Each of our personal picks, and they have to select which is the best one.
Perfect.
So mine is, of course, your favorite video game character in Smash Brothers.
Mine is the Zelda JRPG from Square Enix.
And mine was can't remember. I honestly cannot remember.
Wasn't it Paper Mario?
It was Paper Mario.
Yeah, it was Paper Mario. Yes. It mentioned true Paper Mario Revival, aka N64 Thousand Year Door. So let us know of these three choices which one you think you would want to have the most on the Switch. Okay? I'm very interested in this poll. Now, next week is our 100th episode. We're going to try and have some special guest hosts with us, but we're still going to, you know, work it out. I have a con that I have to go to during our usual time, so we'll be doing it a day earlier, so it will be releasing on Thursday and not Friday, so stay tuned for that. And we're just going to have a lot of fun next week, so stay tuned for that. So, Full, Tellius Tyler, and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. So you've made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.